Blog Talk Radio.
South Carolina. Welcome to tonight's radio show. Pastor Hill, do we have any guests on the show tonight?
We don't have nobody showed up on the show so far.
I got
somebody from California supposed to be calling.
Welcome to Bone Crushers Radio Show. We have on Pastor Hill, Nathan Hill, Nathan on the spot, and he's going to be letting me know who we have. Our guest is going to be tonight. He can see the number. I cannot. Please state your name and where you calling from. What is the number, Pastor Hill? Do you see the number?
Nobody called in yet. I don't see nobody on the internet either.
When we have a guest appear on the online, please let me know, and we'll welcome the guests and give them an opportunity to just share the name and where they're calling from, and they have anything to say, they're welcome to start. And matter of fact, you and I can start a little dialogue. And how's your week been just so far this week?
Oh,
When the Webathon is supposed to be coming up in the next week, right? Is that, would that be Marty? Marty, you on live with us tonight? Well, Marty not here, I was just asking about Marty. Is he gonna have the Webathon up and running by the 16th? I talked to Marty earlier, and he was supposed to be on the call tonight.
Oh, okay.
Did you get a chance to go? Did you get a chance to go to Columbia on Monday or Tuesday?
I went to Columbia Tuesday, and I talked to Ruth, and I gave him for business plan. I had to do some business at the bank.
Yeah. You kind of breaking up tonight, Pastor Hill. I don't know. I can't hear you. I don't know if you can hear me clearly or not, but I'm having a little problem hearing you.
Okay, I see. I have my mic turned sideways. I just walked in the house. Yeah, my mic
okay.
Turned sideways. Yeah. Yeah, I went to Columbia today to take care of some business. I got some business plan to I met a young lady online from Yamensee. She got the Boys and Girls Club down in the shelter. So I got my name on her site, and I'm looking forward for her to be calling me back. And other than that, we're ready to go, except if we can get the weather for next Monday or the end of the month, whenever y'all are going to start it rolling.
I still can't hear you clearly. I can hear you going in and out. I don't know why what the issue is tonight.
Well, it's raining. Definitely it's raining. So maybe I'm going to get a little closer to the mic. How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you much, much better now. Where were you, in the next room?
No. I was just, my mic was about to be closed. I usually don't have the mic that close to me. Yeah.
How was the?
Give us a download on what happened in Orlando, Florida, and some of the people you meet, well, about this big movie you about to do?
Well, the guy in Orlando ended up being a hoax. You know, he was down there. I met with him, and he you know, things fell through with him. But you know, last Friday we had Gail Grandchamp on from Massachusetts, and she's working on a movie as well. Actually, Todd the Punisher Poulton lived right down the road, less than 20 miles from her, and he made the introduction, and she's doing a movie. She's already invested $1 million into the movie, and she wants me to be a feature in the movie.
Oh,
and you had a chance to meet her last Friday on the call.
Yeah, but I was in and out so much I didn't catch the full details. I know y'all was talking about it.
Yeah, we talk two or three times a day now. We have become very close friends, and on February the 7th, 8th, and 9th, I'll be traveling to Massachusetts to work out some details, meeting with the director, and going over some scripts and different things. And I sent them some information today that put it in the mail, and they're very serious, and they're very ready to move forward on the movie project in Massachusetts.
Okay, then. That's real good.
Real good.
But we got a caller here, 631.
Yeah, it's Marty in New York. How are you?
Oh,
hey,
yes.
Welcome to the show, Marty.
Okay. Anybody on yet?
You and I and Pastor Hill on, and why don't you, Marty? I know you and I, you know, talked a couple times this week, and you're working on some things that might come to pass in the New York City area. You mind sharing those things with our audience?
Sure. Thank you for bringing it up. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, anyone who's listening across the country, we have a new chancellor of the students in our public schools in New York City. I'm not in New York City, but you know, I used to teach in New York City, and I live there for a long time. And, you know, New York City has about 1.2 million students. So the new chancellor is supposed to be coming out to Far Rockaway. And remember, Far Rockaway was underwater when Sandy hit Far Rockaway. My friend and basic partner, just like I partner with you, Bone Crusher, Queen Makeda is a very powerful woman out there in the Queens community, and she's known all over the city of New York. And she's really great in parent involvement. So this new chancellor wants to do much more than the previous chancellors in New York City to have parent involvement. And I think the listeners who know about raising their children, and, of course, Bone Crusher, you played a great role in raising your children, you know that parent involvement is one of the great keys to success. And, of course, across the country and in big places like New York City, a lot of the children don't have those two parents to guide them. Sometimes they don't even have one. They just have another family member who's taking control of their life. So basically what I'm looking for is to go into a meeting with the chancellor in Far Rockaway and to bring in the people's champion, James Bone Crusher Smith, and his Do Right Challenge.
Hmm.
That is awesome. You know, our guest on the radio show last Friday, Marty, one of our guests is a young lady. Well, you know, she's about my age. You know, she's not that young, but she was on the show last Friday. And her name is Gail Grandchamp, and she lives in Massachusetts, and she's working on a movie. And she's wants me to be the feature in a movie, in her movie. And the gist of the movie is about the heart of a fighter. And I have talked her into letting me do what I do, what I'm doing on a daily basis, which is mentoring kids and mentoring people, encouraging them to do right. And I think we're going to have a situation where we're going to be coming to New York, and we're going to come to Myrtle Beach and different places around the country. Go back to Shaw University, where I graduated from, and and really make the movie part about the Do-Right Challenge. And we just got to work out some details. I'll be going up there in another 30 days. I'll be going up to Massachusetts meeting with the director. And wouldn't that be something if we could turn, kind of twist and turn this movie towards me mentoring kids around the world?
Wow.
Well, that's the way we have to go. If I could say anything else about this subject matter, you know, you're going to be either in Boston or near Boston, and that's another major city. And, I again, if people are listening to this or if they have friends that can get access to the archives of this show, I would say to everybody to remember that Harold Melville song that was popular way back in the day, Wake Up Everybody. Everyone has to wake up to helping our youth more. And I'm going to talk about a little bit more in relation to New York City public schools. You know, if you give me a minute now, I'll do it. But I don't want to cut you off to say anything important. That...
No, this is important. Well, you have to say it's very important. And, you know, we turn it over to you right now. Just say what you like.
Well, you know, thank you. You know, the new mayor of New York City and also the governor of New York State have come up with certain proposals in terms of education. The governor is saying that they want to pay the best teachers in the city of New York an additional $20,000. Okay? That would be great, you know, if everybody could make more money. And I'm not supporting any union position on this. But if they're going to do this type of thing, they should think twice. I think that the extra money would be great, not only for the Do Right campaign, but to help all those at-risk students in the city of New York. Sometimes they refer to some of these students as Title IV. These are students that have gotten into trouble. We have lots of students dropping out of school during the year. The principals certainly should speak up and speak to the students and say, listen, go out and speak to your friends on the streets and tell them to come back into school. We want our youth educated. So help us to do something like this. And I think the money, the $20,000 he's talking about, would pay greater dividends to fight the gang violence, the students that are Title I, the students that are hanging out on the streets, instead of just thinking about the great students that are accomplishing things in the classroom. And we have 1.2 million students across the country who drop out, so you can just picture how large the problem is. The other thing is that it looks like the mayor is talking about having more after-school programs for 30,000 students. That's another wonderful idea. And to have universal pre-kindergarten for everybody. But you know, when the parents aren't educated and they're trying to raise these children and they're having problems with their children, then the children will suffer even as they are taking pre-kindergarten and after-school programs. So we really have to educate everyone, including the parents. And I think when we concentrate on the total picture instead of just individual pieces of the picture, we will have a stronger United States.
I agree with you. We had a couple more guests. We had several people as guest speakers on the show last Friday. We had a couple ladies that they had written books and published books, and they volunteered to come and be part of the summer camp, which will start on Thursday, June the 12th, the 13th, and 14th in Myrtle Beach. And then I reached out to another friend of mine this week, and he said he's written several books, and he said he would like to come and volunteer for those days as well. And Gail is the author. Gail Grand Champ is the author, and she's a fighter, and she's already invested $1 million on this movie. And she said she would like to come, and there again, we want to make the summer camp and the Do Right Challenge as part of what I'm doing and what I would be doing in the movie. I just think if parents can get a hold of this Do Right Challenge, I think it would be a big thing.
Well, I think we have the opportunity to explain it to all the Title I parent involvement programs in the country. And, you know, these programs are in areas of great poverty. And, you know, once you get the thing going, or at least, you know, when we have everything in place to get it started, the Department of Education of the United States should know about it, because they're the ones that are responsible for Title I parent involvement, and that's how the parents can get a hold of it.
Yeah, she, Gail talked today, I talked to her a couple of times today, and she said, you know, on the 7th or 8th in Massachusetts, she lives about 3 hours drive from Boston, but she's going to send a letter out to the governor of Boston, Mr. LeVar Patrick,
right,
and invite him to be at the press conference. And if he comes, you know, he's very close friends with Barack Obama. And I think once the president understands what we're trying to do and trying to accomplish, I think he will be very supportive of it.
Well, you know, when you tie it in with the other things that you've been talking about, which is to defuse the violence in the youth, and also to get people to lose 20 pounds or more, the way you've been telling me on the phone. I'm telling you, I haven't been on the bike for a couple of days, and I better get on it real fast, you know.
That's right.
But this Do Right Challenge definitely has aspects that are very important, not just here, but worldwide, and worldwide for health, education, and for public safety.
Yeah, Mario, I mean, you know, that's right. You know, if you know, I'm going to be there on the 7th, 8th, and 9th of February, and then I'm going to find out exactly when the press conference is going to be. If you want to come over for the press conference and be part of that situation, I mean, you might be able to do that if you could.
Well, you know, there's a restaurant called the Salty Dog in Boston. And you just have to say, Marty, come over. And I'm not giving a plug to the restaurant, but it wouldn't take a lot for me to get over to Boston.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because you're a proponent, and I guess I'm saying the right word, but I know you're in favor. You think a lot about what we're trying to get done here with the Do Right Challenge. And And you're a big advocate of it, and, you know, I think we should do something in Boston and as well as New York. I mean, you know, New York is the media capital, so if we can get something going on in New York, that'd be awesome.
Well, you know, even yesterday in the newspaper, New York Newsday, there was an article about a group of high school students that took a pledge. And these are high school students from different high schools on Long Island. They took a pledge that they're not going to do drugs. And part of that pledge was writing. The other part was to make photographs related to their pledge. And they
wow.
had their work illustrated in the public library, I believe in Smithtown, Long Island. And here's, again, another, you know, part of what we're talking about, that the youth should be writing.
Yeah. You know, there was a couple of times I was watching MSNBC this week. And there was a couple authors up there. The lady, what's her name? Mika. And Joe Scarborough. They were talking about writing a couple times this week, and they had a couple guests on there that has lost his job. They were talking about trying to get that unemployment insurance going. That was kind of the gist of the conversation. And both of them had lost their jobs. And Mika, you know, she's an analyst, anchor, co-anchor with Joe Scarborough, and she had lost her job. She was working on NBC, and she had lost her job, and she recently got a job back with MSNBC. And they were talking about how they filled the void. And they felt lost before to fill the void, but they filled the void by writing books, writing a book describing how bad it is to lose your job and not having any money coming in. So basically the whole week was talking about book writing and how you can market your book, how you can make money. And even though you might be unemployed, but you can be creative. And they were talking about the creativity of writing a book. And, Marty, mm-hmm. you know as well as I do, I mean, the sale of a book can create income, you know?
Oh, sure. It's a huge market in the English language. And even China has more English-speaking people today than England. So, you know, people who are listening to us, you know, speaking English should recognize that there are huge markets for writing books. And but we want those kids to focus on this. We want to bring out the brilliance in a lot of kids. And, I just got off the phone today with a guy who obviously did time. And he's got a whole program in Brooklyn, and we were talking. And he's got to help those people coming out of jail. Some of those people coming out of jail have written books, you know, that they published and that people are buying. So this is something that, you know, more of us really should get into instead of just reading everyone else's book.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when Todd and I started the Punisher and I first started this conversation about, you know, getting in the ring and boxing three rounds and those type things, it kind of that conversation and that reality kind of led into having amateur boxing going on, North Carolina versus South Carolina on June the 14th. But that has evolved into the summer camp and having the basic fundamentals of writing being offered as well as the basic fundamentals of boxing and fighting. And I got a call from a couple parents today. They already calling me. This is January, and they're already calling me asking me about the summer camp. They fired up and ready to go, and they don't even know that we're going to add writing to the deal this summer camp. And I think once the kids in Myrtle Beach and around, once they find out about the writing part, I mean, I think this thing is going to go viral.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that people want to write about. You know, I'm almost 69. I'll be 69 next month. And I can assure you that in learning about new things that I didn't know about before, maybe I can't write about these things, but somebody else should. Okay, so, you know, the more and more that we think, the more that we read, we're going to come up with topics, and more people can write books, and, you know, they can do them, you know, easily, especially online, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a
easily.
Website. The gentleman that helped me write my book, we're talking about a website. If a person can't think of anything to write about, there's a website out there, and I forget where it is, and he's going to be one of our guests. Teachers on writing down here in June, and but there's a website you can go that people are that's a great topics that people can write about. So there is, I mean, there's so many things that goes into writing a book, but it's all simple, Marty. You know as well as I do. You've written several books that this process is not as difficult as most people think.
Well, what I would recommend is this, because I've written at least 600 articles that are all over the Internet, mostly about education, a couple about travel, which I know is something that you're getting more interested in also. But write an article of about one page. Get started. You know, write about something that you feel passionate about. You know, you see all these kids who have written rap music, you know, over the years. How about a whole page? Develop a whole page on that particular rap that they were writing about. That would be awesome. So do a rap and do a page. Okay?
Yeah. And you said a key word, passion. I think your passion will reveal your gifts, and if you love, people should do what they love and love what they do, and they can fall in love to writing. Once they get started, they just kind of lose themselves into their topics.
Yep. I think just, you know, being that I taught writing in GED classes in New York City, the first hurdle is when the student says, I don't know what to write about. That's the first hurdle. You know, once you can get that student to focus on, you know, an idea, a sentence or two sentences, you could be on your way. And of course, then you just have to explain to the student that you want to write, you know, different paragraphs related to different ideas, put each idea that you're writing about separately into paragraphs, and you're on your way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pastor Hill, you need to be thinking about writing your book, too. Everybody has a story.
Let's hear about it.
Yeah, my story is just like yours. I grew up on the farm. I had to feed hogs and feed cows and cut wood.
You need to put it. You need to put your picture on that book.
where was that? Where was that farm anyway?
Hampton, South Carolina.
In South Carolina.
Hampton, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Deep
well, I didn't get to South Carolina until I retired, but I'm really happy I got there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I never made it down there. I went pretty much as far as Virginia. That was it.
That's it.
Well, I know you've been to Myrtle Beach a couple times.
No, I've been there several times, and I hope to be there several times more before my time's up. But we have a beautiful country. I mean, I know it because when I retired, the first trip I took was all the way down to Miami. Okay, and actually, I think I went to the Everglades on my first trip, and then I drove back home, you know? And I did it by myself. But certainly, I could have written about it. You know, imagine hearing about cotton all those years of my life, reading about it in history books, and then one day seeing it blown on the highway down south.
Yeah.
And stopping off the highway to touch real cotton, unprocessed cotton.
For the first time.
For the first time in my life after I retired, you know. So let's get out there and experience things and write about them.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then go out and talk about it.
That's right. You know. I mean, coming from the north, you know. You know what our attitudes were. You know, you're from the north. I'm from the north. You're from the south, right?
Yeah.
You know,
world.
You know, and all the police stopping people in North Carolina, giving them tickets, going down to Florida.
Right.
You know. No, I mean, these are the things that we heard about. Of course, you can write about them. You can make up any story that you want. You know, make a James Bond type of story where you get stopped by the police and take it from there. You know.
Let us know, that's right. Let us know, Pastor Hill, do we have any other callers out there?
I think we got a 203 out there.
We do.
Oh, wow.
We got a 203.
Is that New Jersey?
Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Dr. Ventura from Sound Doctor and Broadcast calling you.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. James Bone Christian Smith. We got Pastor Nathan Hill on the call, and we got Marty out of New York.
How are you, Marty? Out of New York.
How you doing?
It's a funny thing, Bone Crusher. I was kidding around with Brother Hill the other day, and I said I'm going to call in on Friday. I had to speak to you a minute, and I've had a lot of trouble with my internet here for just some reason this evening. So I finally got you on the telephone. And I just want to let you know that I think, you know, the Lord has really blessed you, and I thank you for answering that call.
Yes, and you're calling from where?
I'm actually in Imperial Beach, California.
Oh, wow.
In California.
Right.
Wow.
I do a Thursday night broadcast called Sound Doctrine with Enterprisement Media. And
yeah,
so,
you ought to bring me on as your guest sometime.
Well, I'd like to do that. We'll have to hook that up.
Okay.
And, I was kidding around with Brother Hill the other day, and I said, you know, when I get Bone Crusher on the phone, I'm going to tell him that I used to box myself.
Wow.
I had to quit because I kept hurting my hands.
Hurting your hands? You hit the person so hard you hurt your hands?
No, the referee kept stepping on him.
Is that a Bob Hope joke?
Oh, wow.
Hey, man. Well, I tell you, fellow was saying, I picked up where he was talking about traveling across the country, and my wife and I just traveled from Imperial Beach, California. We drove up the 20 to Connecticut, and then down the East Coast, we stopped at Brother Hill's, the church down here in Orangeburg, and Delaware and Pensacola. We stopped in Louisiana, and on the way back, and he's right, why anybody would want to travel around the world to see anything, they better explore their own country first. We live in a gorgeous country.
And you back in California now? Are you back
I
home?
Am. I'm in Imperial Beach. I'm standing out near the porch. I got a view of the Coronado Islands from the house, and God's good.
How far are you from Los Angeles?
Oh, I'm a good distance from Los Angeles, a few hours.
Wow.
I'm in the most southwest city of California. It's so nice here by the ocean. We don't even use air conditioners.
Wow. What is the temperature today?
It was about 73, 74 today.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, we stay warm. You know, and I think last year, the hottest it got last year was about 87.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I can go surfing in the morning and at night drive 40 minutes and go up to the mountains. You go skiing. And California is an awesome place.
Yeah, I was out in Malibu back in April.
Oh,
yeah. I got some friends up in the mountains of Malibu. I've fallen in California several times, several locations, Oakland and L.A. and San Francisco. Yeah, I've been all over there.
You still have both your ears?
Yeah, I fought Mike when he was a fighter, not a biter. Yeah.
Amen, brother. Amen. God's good, isn't he?
God is awesome, man. You know, we got this fight coming up again. You know, about in October, I was sitting at Cracker Barrel Restaurant. You probably don't have a Cracker Barrel Restaurant out in California, but they got them in South Carolina. They got about 600 locations around the country. And I was sitting at one here in Myrtle Beach having breakfast, getting ready to go inside to have breakfast. I was sitting outside in a rocking chair, and here walks this guy up to me, and he had a tattoo on his eye. And I said, "Tattoo, this got to be Tyson." The son had called me just right. But it wasn't Tyson. And he says, "Are you James Bonecrusher Smith?" I said, "Well, a lot of people think I am." And he says, "My name is Todd the Punisher Poulton. I'm the two-time celebrity heavyweight champion." He said, "I've been looking for you." I said, "You have?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "Champ, will you do something for me?" I said, "Well, it depends on what it is, Todd. I just met you." He said, "Will you get in the ring and box me for 3 rounds? I said, "Well, Todd, I'm 60 years old. I know I don't look like it, but I am. I got grandchildren. And I've fought over 60 guys. I've fought 7 world champions, and 3 of them I fought twice." He said, "Well, suppose I made a donation to your foundation." And I said, "Well, how much, Todd?" And he told me. I said, "Well, Todd, I'm old, but I'm thinking about getting up on this rocket chair just for you."
Hey, man.
I said, "But here's what you got to do, Todd." I said, "You got to beat me in checkers." I said, "You sit down in that rocket chair, you're facing me, and there's a checkerboard there." I said, "If you beat me in checkers, Todd, I'll meet you next June in the ring." So I let Todd beat me in checkers because I believe that everybody need to win at least one time in their whole life.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen.
So Todd and I are going to meet in the ring next June. And North Carolina Amateur Boxers is going to fight South Carolina Amateur Boxers. I used to live in North Carolina. Now I live in South Carolina, and I'm promoting the fight. And because of that, North versus the South, and I'm living in South Carolina, I believe the South will rise again.
Amen. Amen. You know, I'm from originally from Connecticut.
Yeah.
And, you know, we learn a lot of Yankee stuff up there.
Yeah.
But recently I'm working on a doctorate in theology, and I was studying decision-making. And one of the books that they gave us on decision-making was on Robert E. Lee's life. And when I finished the book, I have a whole different perspective on Southern living and a whole different respect for the South.
Yeah.
Really amazing stuff. You know, stuff.
Have you read my book yet?
I haven't read your book.
It's called MAD, M-A-D, Make a Decision.
Okay.
And I published it last February, and I'm on book tour. That's why, you know, I was out in California on book tour out there with the Magic Johnson Foundation in L.A., and then we went up to Malibu, and I was just down in Florida promoting the book. I travel all over promoting.
Well, that's good. I wish I had the time to travel. And, you know, it was the first time I got out. We traveled for 3 weeks, and, you know, on a preaching tour. And I wish I had the time to get out there. I'll be honest with you. I was incarcerated from 1983 until 2010. I spent 26 years behind bars. I earned a master's degree while I was in theology and paralegal degree. Studied some undergraduate law, but that's not what God called me to do, so I quit that. And, you know, I do a little pro bono once in a while for some prisoners. But, and you know, the Lord's good. I married my childhood sweetheart. And I'll tell you a quick story. I got out, and I was in Connecticut, and somebody came to me and asked me if I would do a wedding vow renewal service for them. And I said, you know, they were family. I said, sure. And I said, where's it going to be? And they said, well, it's going to be at this park located in the small town. And I said, well, what's the name of it? And they said, Veterans Park. And I said, I'll get back to you. And I went back and I fell on my knees. And I said, you know, God, I said, I don't know if I can do that. This is one of the places where I was arrested before I went to prison. And, you know, what God was telling me was that he'd restored the years that the canker worm had taken from me. And he took me back to a place that I used for the wrong purpose, and he used it for a right purpose. And it was a kind of a restoration, you know, a confirmation of the restoration of your life, being born again in Christ Jesus. We serve a mighty God.
Oh, he's powerful. He can make a way out of no way. And, you know, yeah, that's right. So we appreciate your testimony tonight. And if you got anything else you'd like to share, please go ahead. Pastor Hill, do we have anyone else out there? You recognize the number?
Not yet. Let him tell about that book he's about to write.
Huh?
Dr. Mature about to write a book.
Well, yeah. I got a booklet out there now called Mystery of the Deep. It's on the Gap. I'm working on a book on eschatology. I have a commentary on Haggai. I have a manual for pastors for prison ministry. And so, you know, it's going to school and studying really eats a lot of time. And then, you know, we have a home Bible study here and a ministry. My wife is a 20-year Navy vet. We've really known each other since we were 16. I was doing 20 years in prison, and my wife was 20 years in the Navy. And so God, you know, brought us back together. And she's a member of that military order, the Cooties, which is, you know, they're nationwide, really worldwide. And so we do a lot of volunteer work with the disabled vets. We're pretty busy. And so now I'm getting finished with the school. I have a little more time. I hope to get the books out and get them published. I've just finished a thesis on the seven sevens, or rather seven mysteries, and I'd certainly like to get that out. There's a lot of bad stuff out there right now, you know, circulating around the country in Christian circles, and, you know, the people bringing a lot of modernism into our churches and destroying a lot of good doctrine. And we, you know, the Lord's doing something in this end time. I don't think it's too long before we're raptured out of here. And so, again, you know, I appreciate you allowing me to call in and speak with you.
You know, Bone, before you sign off, you know, you really said something important, that you're helping the veterans. And, you know, let's not lose sight of the fact that, especially the people that fought in the war, the recent wars, you know, a lot of their children are not finishing school. A lot of their children are having problems. The families are getting divorced in very high numbers. So before you go, you know, I want you to keep in mind that we want to work with you. We want to bring the Do Right Challenge into this community to help people. So, you know, it's really great that you came on and said all the things that you did.
Why don't you send me a text and email a name and so we can keep in contact. And if you can get back out here in June, you know, how far are you from Vegas?
Well, I'm not too far from Vegas, pretty close.
I'll be in Vegas April 11th.
On April 11th?
Yeah.
All right, well, look, what I'll do is I'll get my information to you. Brother Hill has it. I'll make sure you get the information, and we'll keep in touch.
We'll do that. Marty has written several books, and I just finished writing a book, and we're going to do a summer camp June 12th, three-day camp, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Myrtle Beach. And and then we normally do it about, you know, have the camp about boxing, basic fundamentals of boxing. But this year we're going to do some basic fundamentals of writing, and hopefully you can come join us. And I think Marty is going to plan to join us, and Pastor Hill, and we're going to have book writers and publishers around the country come and support these kids. And we're going to have a great time. And then on the 14th, me and Todd, the Punisher Poulton, is going to do our thing in the ring. Oh, man, Bone Crusher is going to get back in the ring, and it might be a knockout.
Amen, amen, brother. Amen. As long as the bells aren't ringing in your ears, we're good. Amen. All right, I'll be in touch.
Yeah.
I appreciate that invitation, and we'll see what we can do.
Fantastic.
You know, I said the name of the organization my wife belongs to is the Cooties. You know how they got their name?
Oh.
Back during the trench warfare, when the soldiers were in the trenches, they couldn't shower. And so they'd have bugs on them.
Okay.
And when the enemy would move, or they'd hear the airplanes coming in a distance, or where the enemy would be sneaking up on them, the bugs would start moving. And that would alert them that the enemy was coming. Would save their life.
Well,
and so their motto is keep them smiling in bed sheets of white. And so we're up in La Jolla. We go up to La Jolla once a month, and we visit with the disabled up there. And we do a benefit breakfast and once a month, and a benefit dinner. And then what we do with that money is we go up to the gift shop and we buy books of you know, just gift certificates from the gift shop. And then we play bingo with them, and that's what they win. And of course, nobody's a loser. We make sure everybody gets something before we leave. But we have a great time. We love the veterans.
Yeah,
my wife was in the Navy back when women weren't popular 30 years ago. So,
wow.
Well, you know, Books a Million stores, they have a program to send books to the guys in the military. So it's not a tax write-off. It's just where people just buy the book and send it to people in the military so they can be positively engaged, you know.
Yeah, we have a guy out here, a fella called the Bookman. He's been in business for 30 years giving books to veterans and schools, and he's set up libraries for children all over the state here and around the country. But he's just run out of the building he was in. Somebody else bought. A fellow who owned it had passed away. And so he's got thousands of books, and he's trying to clear them out. He's going out of business after 30 years because he can't afford to stay in the business. But he's, it's, you know, if anybody's listening in the San Diego area, they need to call the Bookman because he's wants to give away a lot of books and you know, use them for whatever reason they'll use them. Edification is good. But I want to thank you again, Bone Crusher, Brother Hill. And you better have a good night. I'll get my information to you. It's been a privilege to speak with you. The Lord certainly blessed me. And you have a wonderful evening.
God bless you. Thanks for calling.
And remember to duck.
Well, I'm too big to duck. I don't do a lot of ducking. I just do a lot of firing. Let the other guy duck.
Bone Crusher, tell him what your plan is when you throw that punch.
Well,
Where do you aim it at, and what's your goal?
Well, normally, I don't know if I'm going to do it with Todd or not, but normally when I'm fighting a guy, I try to take that right hand and drive that left ear to the right ear. I put it in my book. And I know if that left ear don't get all the way to the right ear, he'd be like Elvis Presley. He'd be all shook up.
Amen. But hey, remember, the Lord said win them to Christ, not send them to Christ. Hey,
well,
brothers.
We're going to do the best we can. We're going to let it do what it do.
Amen, brother. Mm-hmm. All right. You all have a good evening. The Lord bless you.
You too. Pastor Hill, you mighty quiet over there. What's up?
Hey, y'all got it going on. I'm just sitting back and enjoying myself.
You mean we didn't put you to sleep yet?
No, I'm enjoying everything. I mean, you tell me you stop your car side of the road to see a cotton, and I was out there picking that cotton. That touched me.
he might have seen you and didn't know it.
No, that was a beautiful. That was a beautiful moment. Seriously, you know.
What?
He might have seen you picking cotton and didn't even know it was you, Pastor Hill.
Oh my Lord. Mm-mm.
Well, like I said, I had never been that far down south. So, you know, it's one other thing, you know, I've already mentioned to the new mayor's office in Newark, New Jersey. And, you know, Newark, I think, had about 96 people who were killed last year.
Hey.
You know, this is a town for killings, you know, and for helping people with mad and with do the right thing, you know. And basically I told them that we're ready to bring you up to Newark, New Jersey. We have the proposal. Now it's on, you know, I will get the meeting soon, I'm sure about that. And when the person that I know said, you know, the mayor's very busy, he's the new mayor, he took over for Cory Booker, and he's in meetings all the time, I said, listen, I'm not that kind of person that I have to speak to the mayor, I don't have to be with the mayor. Just get me an appointment with his chief of staff, all right? And we'll do it that way. So we can, you know, if you're going to wait around for them, we might never get there, and then they're going to have another election coming up. So, and I was quick on my feet. I was just, you know, I was thinking float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, you know? And I hope we're going to get a meeting with somebody in the city of Newark, because really, we have to stop the violence out there. And, you know, this is not about cotton only, you know. Seeing beautiful cotton, it's about helping the people.
Helping the people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Helping the people. Yeah. I tell you, we got some trouble in South Carolina. We just had a guy hang himself the other day, so.
Is that right?
I mean, I just can't see getting up in his house and tying himself up to the, and jumping off a chair. I mean, that just stunned me the other day when he hang himself. I mean.
What day was that? Was that this week? How long has that been?
That was right around Christmas time. I don't know. And then we just had two people got frozen to death the other night. So I just can't see our government taking money and putting on other things that we got people freezing to death in. Oh, Lord. South Carolina needs help, too. I'm telling you, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Two people done froze to death already, and we're not even halfway into January. And a man hanging himself? Oh, Lord. He just hang himself. I said, my God.
I mean, if it gets that bad, I'm gonna hang somebody else before I hang myself. If I get that depressed, I'm gonna hang somebody else first, Patsy Hill.
Just stay away from Tim Witherspoon, please. All right. Just stay away from Tim. Terrible Tim.
If I get that depressed, when I got to hang somebody, I'm going to hang somebody else first.
Uh-huh. Oh, we know you're not going to hang anybody. That's the bottom line.
That's the definition of stupid. Yeah, hey.
That just show you people need help. People need help.
But it ain't that. Hey, Pastor Hill, it ain't that bad. When it's bad, it ain't that bad. And when it's good, it ain't that good. So we just need to do the best we can. I mean, you know, my encouragement on that is just do the best you can, man. And when it's good, it's not that good. And when it's bad, it's not that bad. So, you know, we just got to take one day at a time. And then we live to see tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
I know that right. I know that's right.
Yeah, they need to write a book. They need to start writing a book about how bad it is.
I know.
Before they kill themselves. And I guarantee you, Marty, once they start writing, they're going to think through that situation. Don't you think, Marty?
Oh, yeah, because that creativity comes in.
Yeah.
And people start to feel better about it.
Yeah.
See, that's the whole goal with helping gang members or let's say helping people who, like this guy who did so many years in jail, right?
Yeah.
You start to write, you feel great about your writing, and you develop a natural high that you can't get any other way because of the creativity. So if people knew that, if they knew that in a moment of difficulty, if they want to sit down and write about their faith in God, about their family, you know, about anything that's going to really make them have that extra self-esteem, you know, it would be awesome to help people that way.
Yeah, and if he was, I didn't ask him what kind of crime he committed, but he must have committed a real serious crime to spend 26 years in prison.
Absolutely.
But if people could really think, and that's what writing does, it can have you thinking. If people could just take time and think and be creative on their thinking process, they wouldn't go to jail so much. There wouldn't be so many people committing suicide and killing somebody and committing crimes, and they think through those situations. You know what I'm saying? But the judge would give you time to think about it. Once you commit a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm telling you, we got some crimes being committed. We had three young ladies just stab a guy to death the other day too, and I'm saying what? And one of them is 25 years old. They're stabbing to death.
He did what?
Stabbing to death with a knife. His wife stabbed
him. He stabbed himself, or he stabbed somebody else.
No, his wife and two other women stabbed him to death. I'm telling you, people need help.
The women stabbed him to death. What was he doing?
I don't know, but these three women stabbed this man to death.
Wow. What kind of women y'all got in South Carolina?
The same one y'all had in Myrtle Beach?
Hey, is anyone else on the phone? Is anyone else on the phone? Come on.
No. Make sure ain't no more women like from South Carolina on the phone. Not no women get kind of stabbed here. You keep them down there at Bowman, or where are you from? Ardburg.
They need help.
They need God.
Yes, Lord.
You know, I think one of the problems is people have it too easy. And I believe they think they can kill themselves and kill somebody else and they pop back up next week. And, you know, that's some feeble thinking. That's some sick thinking that if you think that way. Life is not that easy. It gets hard sometimes.
Yeah. How are they going to get away with it? How do you expect to get away with it?
Yeah, what are they thinking? Yeah, they're not thinking. They're lazy.
just sitting around with nothing else to do. And they said, let me do this. Let me try this. Let me try to see how many times I can stab this guy.
Hmm.
And he still lived. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. Well, we're about at the top of the hour. My dear friends, we're going to take it right up to the top, past the hill, and we're going to cut it off now. 3 minutes, Ellen.
Whatever you and Brother Marty want to do, it's fine with me. I'm
Marty, do you have anything else you'd like to share?
I think I did it all tonight.
Marty, you did great, man. I want to thank you for sharing those thoughts, and hopefully we can put something together in New Jersey as well as New York.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, well, I'm going to close it out, Pastor Hill, if it's okay with you. While our minds are touched and agreeing, God, we thank you for another day and another night, another radio show, God. You know what we're doing is right, and it's called the Do Right Challenge. And before it's over, we want the whole world to know about the Do Right Challenge. We want to put this movie together and let kids participate. Let cities participate, let states participate, let countries participate, and we all know that the real power comes from you. God, we just thank you, we touch and agree, and we love you, and we're going to stay in contact with each other, and we're going to make the Do Right Challenge do right.
Yeah.
And we touch and agree right now in Jesus' name. God, we pray. Amen.
Amen.